Welcome to the Uptown Community Podcast, where we see what we can learn, who we can get to know, and if we can understand each other and our neighborhood a little bit more.
We make up a brilliant tapestry. By examining the various threads and aspects of our community, we can appreciate how each and every person contributes in their own unique way.
So let's just launch into it. Welcome to the Uptown Community Podcast. I'm Ben, the host, joined with a guest today. I'm at the Preston Bradley Center, and who do I have the pleasure of speaking with today?
My name is Carrie Fleming.
Carrie Fleming. Welcome to the Preston Bradley Center.
Thank you.
Is your first time that you've been here?
At the center, yeah. I've never been here before. It's quite an extraordinary building. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is kind of only a third of it where I'm in those offices connected to the sanctuary from with People's Church. And we are in Uptown Chicago. We are, just to be clear, we have the window cracked and wearing masks, so.
Exactly.
We're
distant, so yeah. we're in good shape.
Yeah, I feel very safe.
Yep, here. I do too.
Okay, good.
We're also wearing coats.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps, but it can hurt.
Yeah. Well, wow, I'm snowing even harder.
We get snow today and deep freeze tomorrow, so.
Okay. All right, well, hopefully things will be okay getting to and back to your apartment. You live in Uptown?
I do. I live on Foster and Marine, or just south of Foster and Marine, yeah.
Okay.
So as I was saying, it's not far from here. It's only like 5 or 6 blocks from here, so
yeah.
It's close. If I were walking, I would come straight down Marine to Lawrence and then cut up west to Lawrence right there.
Yeah.
So it's close.
And how long have you been there?
I've been in that location since 1997. I've been there for almost 24 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I live in Uptown a while, so I'm very familiar with the neighborhood now.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people kind of consider Foster like the beginning of Edgewater.
Edgewater, yeah. I didn't know that for a while. And I know people that live, you know, where Mariano's is, right at Foster and Sheridan, and I know people that live like in the middle of that block, and I hear them identify, it's Edgewater. I'm like, you live a block and a half from me, but apparently that's the that's the dividing line. I never knew that until recently, but yeah.
And is there anywhere in the neighborhood, I guess we'll get into like more favorites and organizing the neighborhood, but I mean, would you like to give a shout-out to anywhere in Uptown?
You mean places that I like to go?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go a little bit west, there's a Thai restaurant that I really like. What's the name of it? It's just over, where are we? It's just over whatever that street is. Sheridan? Yeah, right.
Sheridan.
And right on the left. I can't think of the name of it. It's a little place, but it's got great food. Tweets and Big Chicks up there is a lot of fun. Yeah. That's just right around the corner from my house. So they're fun places to go.
Okay, yeah. Okay. As we do our surface to depth conversation, I guess the next thing, getting a little bit deeper, is looking at all the different things that are going on and what kind of things that you do. What kind of roles do you have?
In my whole life, or just in terms of Uptown?
I guess, let's start with Uptown.
Okay.
You have roles here?
Well, yeah, I mean, my biggest role, if you want to call that, is my association with One Northside, where I'm on the economic justice team, and I have been in that particular role for a while. And in that role, I've done things like, I give presentations. I facilitate presentations, workshops. I do a lot of planning. you know, and then and some of the grunt stuff like phone banking and stuff. But so I've been very involved. And then I run larger meetings or help run larger meetings, and I help plan a lot of that stuff. So I'm very involved in that. I've begun to expand out from that, not away from One North Side, but to do different things. I've gotten recently into the leg of the organization that's into policing and what can be done around that. And now I was told just the other day, I brought in, we're going to be doing One North Side wide. We're going to be doing a training / assessment of racism / anti-racism within the organization itself, the structure of the organization, as well as how it manifests in the work. We look at these aspects of ourselves and look at ourselves to how these things manifest, how they work well and where they don't, and look at the organization and the work and see if they don't, how we can change our structure and make it so that we are doing it better. It's hugely important.
Yeah. New, and it's important to be innovative. And that's what I thought about One North Side, is that it's continuing to include the aspects of society. And is it a collection of organizers, or what would be your description of One North Side?
Yeah, it's an organization that's built is community organizing. Now they do have paid staff. It's not a huge paid staff, but the majority of the work and the majority of the participants are volunteers, such as myself. So we're not getting paid.
Yeah,
but you know, to a large extent, that's a great thing because we do it because it's a passion, and we do it because it's necessary, and we do it because it needs to be done. And a lot of times, you know, when one is not being paid for something, the desire is more so than if you, it's my job, and I have to go every day. And so, you know, the passion that runs through the organization and the work is tremendous. And I see it with everybody that I work with there. And it's contagious.
Let's talk more about roles. You have this role at the One North Side. Is there any other? Has that been the most consistent?
As far as centered in Uptown, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What other things?
I do similar work to what I do on One North Side in other areas of the city. I'm involved in an organization down in the DePaul area. What do we call that now? Lincoln Park. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Park. That is an organization that is centered on, again, anti-racism, but it pulls it down to catering to Black queer people. So for me, it bonds two things that I'm passionate about together. So it's anti-racism on the one hand, and it's LGBTQ rights on the other, and it mashes them all together. So we're doing all of it at one time within one organization. And I'm on the leadership team there. So again, not only am I there to do my support and work for the organization, but I'm also there to help plan what we're doing and how we're moving forward and help build the organization and how it can go into the future. So that's very exciting too. So that's great. And then I do a number of different other kinds of groups, mostly with anti-racism, but also some things with leading AIDS survivor support group. So that's a very interesting and important work. That's in its infancy, because people don't even realize AIDS survivor syndrome is a thing. So we're trying to build that out too into a larger thing. And then a variety of things like that. So I have my hands on a lot of stuff.
Huh. Okay.
But it's all pretty much about the same stuff, right? I mean, different ways of working towards equality and justice for the same thing in different areas. It's all important.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more thing. I meant to bring this up and I didn't. One final thing is, I work with a faith organization, the Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, which is just west of Wrigley Field. So, Anderson, not Andersonville, Wrigleyville, right? So, another neighborhood. And one of my major roles there, again, is working with what we call anti-racism ministry. And it's a whole thing that's been set up by the Synod, the Metropolitan Synod in Chicago, to specifically work towards, again, dismantling racism in the power structure of the church, but also to bring it to other people. So it's another way of working the same issue in another setting and bring it to different people and trying to dismantle it in a different setting. And there's no bigger institution in the world than organized religion, right? So variety of different denominations, but it's all there, and the problem exists there just like it exists everywhere else. So it's another way of being able to take the fight where it needs to be, as it were. They don't like me to use military terms like fight, but you get my drift.
Yeah. How long have you been involved there?
At the church?
Yeah.
Roughly, I don't know exactly, I can't remember. It's 20 years-ish.
Okay.
I think it may be a little more, but 20 years is a nice round number.
Did that, was that like how you got involved with One North Side?
No, I actually got involved with One North Side. So it's interesting. Let me take that back. The church, my church, does have an ongoing relationship with One North Side, both representational and monetary. We give money to One North Side on an annual basis. And I knew that to some extent, but I never completely keyed in on it. So I actually got to One North Side on my own, but it's like, okay, I'm dragging these other folks along because they're supposed to be there anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of the next step in our conversation is more about like those connections. And before we had a conversation about how there's a relationship and an interconnected way that in how you're involved in various things, they can have kind of a cause and effect. You found that to be true, I assume, in all your different things that you do?
Yes, because my philosophy of the work, and I won't bore you with all of it, but my philosophy of the work is that all of this stuff is connected. You can't separate any of it. And that's even broader. If you go into things like women's rights, and, you know, it's all connected. Or if you go into caste stuff, you know, monetary rights, schools, and police, it's all part of it. And it touches all of those things. So if I go to my basic values and goals, which are things, you know, if you want to take out a religious thing, you boil, get away from all the religion and the organized stuff and base it on what are the principles. You know, it's love and inclusion and compassion and all that. So that runs through all of this. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing at One North Side, whether it's economic justice, well, that's the same thing as working for anti-racism in another way because it's connected. And if you're working in a church and doing that, well, those are the values of the church. So if you're going to have those values, then you have to act on them. And ways you act on them is doing things like working with economic justice and anti-racism. It's all connected. And for me, it's all connected. And I have in my being I see a definite through line to all of it, which is one of the ways that I can do it, because it is all part of a whole.
When did you start formulating that philosophy?
It took a while. I started doing this work both the LGBT work and the anti-racism stuff when I was a teenager. And I didn't have this capacity to connect it at that point. I just was working in stuff that I saw where things were wrong and I wanted to do something about it. So it was that basic. So as I got into it, and quite frankly, as I had my battles and stepping away and stuff with churches and organized religion, and then went back to, so I had to find a reason why, you know. And I hear people talk about, well, I go to church because the music's great, or, you know, that's not why I do it. I still have tremendous battles with it, but there's something there. And when I had to look at it all and say, okay, this is going to be part of my life, and all these things are going to be part of my life. How do they connect? How do they fit who I am? How do they kind of scratch the itch that I feel needs to be, give me what, not only my desire to do the work, but my, not comfort, that's definitely the wrong word, how does it touch my soul that I know that I'm doing right? And that's where I began to look at the basic element. And again, you have to strip away. I had to strip away a lot of dogma, a lot of, you know, the institutionalism and all this. It's like, what is actually being said? What's actually being taught? You know, take the Bible. You know, the Bible's this big book. And it's the Old Testament, which is one thing, and the New Testament, which is another. And a lot of it's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. And a lot of it is, you know, whatever. And so I've had battles with that. But if you look at the basic teaching, particularly look at the basic teachings of Christ, what is he talking about? Those things that I just listed. That's what he says over and over and over and over again. Again, to me, that's universal. And, you know, the stories and how they put it and the language and whatever, strip it all away. That's what I had to do. I had to strip it all the way and say, what are my basic core essential values for me and how I show up in the world? That helps me to then choose what I want to do and then show up better for that. Because I have a guide now, an internal guide now that helps me do that work.
I had a conversation with somebody recently about Preston Bradley. And as we're in the building that was built by Preston Bradley, he would bring up the measles and mumps of religion, and I take it as meaning the things that kind of scare people off, and appearances that they have. How do you
I like to call it packaging.
Packaging.
Take all the packaging away.
Okay.
Strip the paper, get rid of the box, get rid of the tissue, all that. What do you find in there?
Yeah.
So it's the packaging that I want to strip away. I never actually heard that idea of measles and mumps of religion. I like that. I want to hear more about that at some point. But I think I like that concept.
Yeah, that was apparently what Preston Bradley would say in his talks about religion and some of the symbolism and that packaging aspects. Was there any kind of chicken and egg kind of situation where your philosophy of the interconnected web, did that come before religion, or did religion come after you started thinking about this philosophy? And I guess in that philosophy, it's all connected. So,
well, religion was part of my life as a little kid, and you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Virginia, and in the 60s, I was a little kid in the 60s, and you know, a lot of racial strife and stuff was going on at that point in time all over the country, but certainly in Virginia, and I was growing up in the middle of it. And so I saw firsthand in my house a lot of racism and whatnot, all that kind of stuff. And I still don't know how I had these ideas, but I just heard it, you know, I was being taught it, and I just rebelled against it. I didn't believe it. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was right, even as a little kid. So where did that come from? I don't know. It just was part of me. And I saw in my religious experiences in my church and other institutions like that how religion was doing the opposite of embracing anti-racism. They were, you know, holding up racism. And of course, early on, too, the whole anti-gay thing, and other, which I was personally persecuted with the church. So this is supposed to be my sanctuary and my safe place, and my, you know, and this is none of those things.
Yeah.
So I backed away from it. I had inside me the core that I see this wrong and I want to do something about it, and the church ain't going to help me, and I'm not safe in a church, so I'm a bad Twitter. And then I did spend 70s and 80s doing the work in other settings, and I fought for, in the 70s, I fought for gay rights because Stonewall and all that had happened, and you know that's what was going on. And then the 80s, the AIDS epidemic happened, and the government, much like what's going on the last year, wasn't doing anything about people getting sick and dying, because who cared? And I had to fight that too. And I did. In the city, around the country, in Washington, protesting, marching, getting beaten, thrown in jail. Yeah, I did it all. I was there for it. While Ronald Reagan sat there going, I don't really care. So then I had you can't see it on the thing, but I had a life-threatening, almost life-ending accident in the 90s. I wasn't supposed to live through it. And I did. And I had, I guess maybe everybody goes through this at some point, but I had this question like, okay, I'm still alive, I wasn't supposed to be. Why? And how can I put that why? How can I create that why is what I eventually came to. Because, nobody was going to tell me why, so I had to figure out a why. And part of that was deciding whether or not spirituality in any form had a place in my life. I had been away from it for so long, and I just said, okay, I need something. But I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid about Christianity or any of the rest of it, because I can't believe that way. Mm-hmm. So I had to take the pieces that I found in a variety of spiritual practices and Christianity, say, take the pieces that work and leave the rest of it alone. That's where the stripping down began to happen. That's where the philosophy all began to fall more into place.
Okay.
I mean, I think it had been there, but now I was at a point where I was actually being able to name what it was and actually explain it so that it made sense, that I hope, to other people, but also made sense to me, more importantly, because it was then my way of, my guide to how I moved through the world. I said that earlier, how I moved through the world, how I worked toward the stuff, it gave me greater focus as to what I was doing, right? Because I could take everything that I wanted to do and take it back to these principles. Say, is it part of that? Am I doing those principles? Am I putting those things forward? Am I bettering those things? And if I am, great, let's move forward. If I'm not, I need to readjust. But those are my guides. So it was a greater piece of focus. And then I had the philosophy in my head, and now everything goes back, is examined against that philosophy.
Well, I guess I will say that I am including this episode in the requirements of a grant from the Unitarian Universalist Funding Program. And in that agreement or intention is to bring up some of the seven principles within Unitarian Universalism. Have you heard about those before?
I would venture to guess, and I believe this, the things that I was talking about before, the basic values, and I didn't name them all, but, what I found throughout religions and beliefs and all that throughout the world, they pretty much are the same regardless of where you're looking. Whether it's Buddhist, whether, whatever it is, those values and principles are the same. So that's universal.
Yeah.
Right? And that tells me, in my spiritual being, that if they're universal, that's what I have to work for every day of my life in however many ways I can do that.
Yeah.
That's my guide all the time.
Yeah. I think they're, the vehicle is different and it might be labeled different things. I know that there's the Eightfold Path in Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if there's the same label as like the seventh principle in Unitarian Universalism, which is like the interconnected web.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the seventh principle. And but it will be there in Buddhism and in elements of Christianity.
Yeah, it's easy for me if I can, I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, but for me, if I can strip away the delivery vehicle, if I can strip away the organizational vehicle,
yeah,
you know, the institutional stuff, and get to the very essence of it, that to me is where it becomes universal. And yeah, it can have all kinds of labels, and it can have all kinds of, this is our principle, whatever. But I look at the very bottom of it.
I've kind of had a similar, well, more than one similar experiences with trauma too.
Mm-hmm.
Just with my own brain cancer experience, but also in Chicago, I've been part of People's Church, mm-hmm, and People's Church is a member of One North Side, but that doesn't determine our own involvement. If we want to get involved, and I guess we're moving into the last step of our now what of the portion of our discussion, how we don't need to be a member to be involved with One North Side.
No, I just walked through the door. And there, you know, I was talking earlier about People's Lobby, and I work with them and some other organizations. One North Side is very welcoming. And if you walk through the door and say, hey, I want to do something, you almost immediately become a part. Now, of course, it takes dedication and all that kind of stuff. I do have the church affiliation, but as I told you, I went to One North Side as an individual because I wanted to know what they were doing. I wanted to get involved with what they were doing. Then I went back to the organization and said, what are you people doing? Part to, if so, the huge balance. So part of organizing too is, yeah, what I can do, but it's also about bringing other people along. You know, it's always about making the movement or the campaign or whatever, the organization bigger, more people, because the power's in the people. The power's not in the government, it's not in the laws, it's not in the, it's in people. And that you go to any, you think of any movement that's ever happened in history, civil rights movement, women's movement, gay rights, gay marriage, I mean, pick one. Mm-hmm. Started with people. And you take it back to the very essence, instead of one person talking to one other person. And to me, still, the best way to get anybody involved is for me to have a conversation with you. And hopefully you'll see something and go, I want to check that out. That's good. And then you will come along. That's how organizing starts. And that's what organizers are about.
Remember to subscribe and help others do that. This is a word of mouth grassroots podcast. Check out the website, that is uptowncommunitypodcast.com, and sign up for the newsletters to hear upcoming events and updates. I'll have one coming out here shortly, so sign up for that at the website and be informed as we continue to grow. Thank you for listening. Bye.
As a project of People's Church, the Uptown Community Podcast celebrates creativity, love, and humanity.
The Uptown Community Podcast is supported with a grant from the Unitarian Universalist Funding Program. If you would like to be a friend of the show, support People's Church at peopleschurchchicago.org and click the Give page.